spirit. Genesis 1, if one does a study of it, illustrates a certain order of the seven synonymous terms. And they are as follows. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Spirit is the synonymous term that represents substance. Substance includes qualities such as purity, which of course means it must be flawless, transparency, which of course requires purity, and if the qualities of both flawless purity and transparency are present, then reflection is an obvious result. The Indians saw a beautiful lake with calm water, pure, and a wonderful landscape all around. So it was both pure and transparent, and therefore was reflecting the landscape around, and the Indians called it the smile of the Great Spirit. What one needs to strive for is to have the smile of the Great Spirit on every single activity with every single one of the seven synonymous terms. For example, mind represents intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. So when we are exercising the quality of intelligence by getting the human out of the way, and letting the divine intelligence direct us and guide us, then we are reflecting the quality of spirit, and we're reflecting the intelligence of the divine mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. And the same with knowing and wisdom. The same with all of the other qualities of mind. Another very important one is omnipresence. So we can reflect the omnipresence of mind if we are letting the substance of spirit be the substance that is our focus. Mind is also creative. Again, we can reflect the creative ability of mind. Mind is omni-action. Mind is all capacity, all facility, all functionality. So all of the qualities of mind can be reflected if we have the purity of spirit instead of letting the belief of spirit's opposite, which is matter, be our focus. If we let matter be our focus, we cannot have the purity of spirit. And therefore, whatever we do is going to be flawed. It's not going to be pure. It's going to be the opposite. It can't be omnipresent because matter is not omnipresent. There can't be anything permanent about it at all if we're going to let matter be our guide. The same thing happens with the third quality of God, which is soul. Soul, being spiritual sense, spiritual because spirit is the only substance. And sense refers to what is thought of as the five senses: seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. If we let substance be the only substance of our senses, then we're going to be looking through the lens of spirit to do our seeing. We're not going to be seeing an individual as being evil. We may recognize evil, but it can't be related with a personality, because evil is not a person. Evil is only a belief. So we must separate what appears to be an evil act of an individual from the individual, just as Jesus did. Jesus did not see evil people. He didn't see sick people or sinful people or dead people. He saw the real man. And as a result, even though others may be seeing that individual as sick, sinful, or dying, or dead, Jesus saw the perfect man. And if we let spirit permeate our thinking, which means that we will be looking through the lens of spirit when we do our seeing, then we have an opportunity to see everyone as they truly are if we divorce them from an act that they seem to be doing that is not a godlike activity. There is no benefit in seeing an individual being attached to something that is unlike God, because we are like the roots of the redwood sequoia trees, where under the surface they bond together. They are all one grand network. We bond together with every other individual because the only reality, all existence, is bonded together. We are all one grand reflection of God. And we need to recognize that, and that will enable healing of our own thought on anything that we find that is defective in someone else. And of course, we should be looking in the mirror first. And if we're not walking on water, then we better be realizing that there's some improvement that should be taking place in our own consciousness. And by improvement, Mary Baker Eddy defines self-improvement very clearly. And it is improvement in our spiritual nature. It is improving the way we are individually acting, the way we are thinking, the way we are talking, the way we conduct ourselves, our own motive. We need to be spiritualizing everything about ourselves. And that enables us to see the spiritual nature of other people. Doesn't matter what they have done. That's not our business. Our business is to get close to God and to see the real man in ourselves and in everyone. That's what Jesus did. If we walk down the street or walk in through the woods or run or drive or just stand or sit, whatever, if we are observing anything or anyone else, whether it is a stray dog, whether it is a child, whether it's an adult, whether it is an activity, event, we should be recognizing the spiritual nature and not what appears to be something less than perfect. Jesus healed when he did that. That's what can happen if we are viewing the true reality. There is nothing related to God that is imperfect. The Bible tells us that God is all. The great I am. If God is all, that means there cannot be something that is outside of the realm of perfect God. What that means is that we are seeing an imperfection because we are viewing incorrectly. If we want to see perfection, we have to be viewing correctly. We have to be viewing through the lens of spirit that is without flaw. We have to be seeing the truth, not a mistake. Error is not the truth. 2 + 3 = 9 is not the truth. We cannot improve it to 8.9 or 9.1 or 5.7. We have to replace the error with the truth. We have to replace it with 2 + 3 = 5. Not 5.1, not 4.9, not 4.9999 ad infinitum, or 5.0000 ad infinitum and then 1 at the end. No. We have to replace whatever it is that is incorrect with the correct statement, the correct understanding. And that reflects out, if we're looking through the lens of spirit, it reflects out into the atmosphere for everyone to receive a benefit. On the other hand, if we are trying to project something that is a mistake, it is also out in the atmosphere available for people to pick up the mistake. We project whatever is our thought, speech, and action. So we need to make sure that it is a reflection of the only real substance, which is spirit, which is without flaw. It's pure. It's pure. And we must be pure in all thought, speech, and action. The same with our hearing, our feeling, our tasting, and our smelling. Are we looking for the purity? Mary Baker Eddy, in a letter that is attributed to her, that is called The Secret, indicates that she found that her healing was very effective if she focused only on perfection. She stopped several times a day in whatever activity she was involved in to check if she was looking for reality, if she was thinking about and talking about, if she was doing any talking, about reality. In other words, about perfection. Was she looking on? Was she thinking about? Was she in consciousness dwelling on perfection? The closer one gets to God, which is perfect, the closer we can get to ourselves reflecting total harmony. It doesn't matter what the problem is, if we focus on getting closer to God, which means understanding His qualities, then everything about our experience, our life, comes in alignment with that thought. Because that's what we're focusing on. Our body is a reflection of our thoughts. And what is our body? Our body is everything about our experience. It's not just what we see when we look in a mirror. It is everything in our entire existence. If we work, if we have a profession, if we have a hobby, if we enjoy sports, if we're married, if we have children, family, if we have any parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, any activity we're involved in, anything we're thinking about, anything that we do, it is all our body. Our body is our existence. Our body is our life. It's the body of our life. It is the container that describes everything about us. It's our shell. It's our world. It's our domain. That is our body. Concept. Every concept that relates to us is our body. That's our world. That's our realm. As mentioned, that's our domain. Principle is the same as soul. Principle represents system and structure. Do we want our foundation, our principle, based on sand, on a seashore or a lakeshore that has waves that come in, that has a tide that rises and just wash it away? Or do we want a foundation that is solid, that is dependable? If we don't have a dependable foundation, then we're going around in circles. Because we need to have something that we can compound and it will stay. So if we have a good foundation, we can do a good act and it will add to our building that is on the foundation. It will add to our body in a positive way. It will add to the atmosphere for everyone to benefit from. The structure is obvious in that that is like the framework, and the system is required in order for the framework to be functional. You need to have something that is operating. A 2 and a 3 by themselves means nothing. But if you add them together to get 5, or multiply them to get 6, or if you square 3 to get 9, or cube it to get 27, these are the operators. This brings a result. This makes the digit functional. By themselves, a digit means nothing. But if you're adding up something or multiplying something, then you have it of use. That's what we have to do with principle. We have to have a system. We have to put it into a usable form. Whatever it is, everything has a principle. Mary Baker Eddy stated that it was the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus that enabled his divinity. Well, we have to have a magnitude of our understanding of what our human life is and take it to the extent that we can visualize. being kind to someone is a human characteristic. Being tender, loving, considerate, tolerant, forgiving, these are all human characteristics because they are relative. They are relative. Anything that is divine is not relative. It is absolute. It's like thinking of the number one with God, whereas God is the only. But if you say, well, how does one compare to two? Well, we can't compare God to something outside of God. God is one, an absolute one, does not change. So the goal is to magnify the moral qualities to their maximum so that we stretch to reach toward the divine. Mary Baker Eddy has an article that says, love your enemies. She says, who is our enemy? And the bottom line is that it's only a thought. There's no real enemy. It's only someone that we think is an enemy. Doesn't matter if we are acting properly, if someone else is not acting properly, and we view them as an enemy, that is our view that needs to be corrected. Don't worry about the other fellow. It's not our responsibility to correct someone else. If we really follow the principle of Christian Science, the principle of the science of the Bible, the principle of the science of Christianity itself, that has nothing to do with trying to correct someone else. Forget trying to be a preacher. We better preach to ourselves. We better be an example. That is our best preaching. Our best preaching is to be the lighthouse. The lighthouse has one goal, to be itself, to shine, to be a protective light, a protective quality. Well, we need to do our job in protecting the atmosphere in our view from letting anything that is not perfect be transmitted from our thought. We have to protect our thought. And then we can better reflect the purity out into the atmosphere. That's our duty. Our duty is not to correct somebody else. We have on our website a couple of audios on criticism by Dr. Francis J. Fluno, CSD. CSD is a very significant set of initials, for it represents Doctor of Christian Science, which means that that designation was given to him by Mary Baker Eddy. She felt he was at the level that was the doctorate level of understanding Christian Science. Excellent audios. It reminds us that we have something much better to do than criticize someone else. These audios, as well as any other references mentioned in this recording, are available for free download from our website. We also have a donate button in case anyone feels that they've gained enough from the website that would like to make a contribution. We certainly appreciate all contributions. The focus needs to be on getting closer to God. God doesn't criticize. God knows nothing about defects. the lighthouse is there to shine its light. God is in existence to be God. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And not a single one of those terms represent defects. They don't represent criticism. They don't represent seeing others as evil. God could not possibly be responsible for an evil act, evil event, anything else that is imperfect. It's a big joke to think about insurance companies wanting to get out of their obligation to fulfill distributing the losses for the ones that have losses among many. And then they exclude the most serious losses. There is no such thing as an act of God that is evil, that is destructive. It's impossible. How could God be a good God? It says God is good in the Bible. Would a good God be destructive? Would a good God burn a house down? Would a good God create an earthquake? No. No. Impossible. Either God is God or God is not God. If God is God, then God is good. If God is not God, then there is no God. And we know there is God. The best physicist in the world and chemists and other professions have recognized, I'm talking about the top people in their field, they've recognized that there is a power that is outside of their little world of physical sciences. Einstein made a comment about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. This was around 1950 or so. And he said, after studying science and health, which was after he saw his friend, Dr. Underwood, healed from radiation as a result of being on the atomic energy research team, wherein everyone on the team passed on as a result of the radiation, except for Dr. Underwood, and he was healed completely. And Dr. Einstein also witnessed other healings, and he said they were all but miraculous. And for a physicist to say that is quite something, because they believe everything can be explained by the physical sciences. But the best ones have admitted that there are things beyond explanation, such as the healing of Dr. Underwood of radiation. And the comment by Einstein about Christian Science and about the textbook Science and Health and about Mary Baker Eddy was, "Blessed art thou, for everything that really is in this book." If you go to Einstein on our website, you will see that and other things that he has stated and research done about him and what he thought about Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. The same with Clara Barton. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross. And of course, they were very directly involved in the medical industry. And if you read her statements, I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised at the respect that she had for Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. So there is something besides relying on a drug or psychiatry or anything but God. That's the only thing Jesus relied on. He didn't go to any medicine man. He didn't go to any psychiatrist. The tools are available. If we want to use them, they're available. Life, truth, and love are just like the other ones we've discussed. If we let Spirit be the substance of those qualities, we will have an entirely new perspective. Imagine life being without flaw, being without the ups and downs of what a material life represents. A material life is really the dance of mortal mind. That is a belief in a mind that is separate from the one true, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind of God. And it's called the dance of mortal mind because it dances all around and doesn't stay still. It doesn't have a standard. It doesn't have a constant. It has only fluctuations. So a life that is based on matter is not a life that brings about any kind of permanent positive results. The calmness, the assurance, the confidence that comes in a life of spirit is beyond all dimensions of one that is based on matter. One can have a life where they don't rely on another individual or a drug or an event or anything else for healing, for protection from even needing to have anything healed, for protection from ever having the discord in the beginning. That's the best life to have. One where there is assurance that they are protected, that they don't have to be concerned about getting sick or being overcome by a sin, addiction. And they can overcome the fear of death. Several practitioners have raised people from the dead. Truth is the same. If we look to spiritual life, we're going to see the real truth, the spiritual truth, not a truth that is temporary. The physical sciences have temporary truths because they fade away. They find that the laws no longer work because they've discovered something that is a better dimension, a higher dimension, a broader, more comprehensive dimension. That doesn't happen with truth, with a capital T. And by the way, Mary Baker Eddy, if you're not familiar with it, she has developed a brand new alphabet whereby a capital letter designates, as the first letter of a word, designates it being God. So, for example, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, if they are capitalized with the first letter, they represent a synonymous term for God. In other words, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And if it's a little t for truth, or a little m for mind, or substance or spirit or whatever, then that is on a human level, a relative level. And it does not mean God. It means we have to work up to God. We have to be doing what Jesus did and have the magnitude of humanity to reach toward the divine. We need to improve by gaining a better and better understanding of spirit, what God is, until we can reach to the divine. We keep replacing what our thought is on a relative level with the spiritual understanding. We keep getting a better and better spiritual understanding. And of course, progress is infinite. So infinite progression is concrete being, Mary Baker Eddy states. Infinite progression. So there's no end to it because there's no end to God. God is infinite. So our progress has to be continuous. I mean, it's just like Roger Bannister. Everyone thought that a 4-minute mile run by a human was the maximum anyone could do. That would be the best anyone can do. No one could ever break it and run a mile in less than 4 minutes. He broke it. He broke it because he didn't think about there being a limit. I remember when 10 seconds for the 100-yard dash seemed to be a limit. It got broken. And again, these are on the relative level. And the relative level, if one is trying to really be better, has to forget about the material limits. They have to think about there being no limit. They can't break a limit if they think about the limit. I saw a wonderful movie about a lady that was training other people to be runners. And she told them to forget about everybody else on the track. She said, "You run your race. Forget about them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where they are at the beginning when you come out of the starting blocks or where you are halfway down. It doesn't even remember where you are at the end in relation to the other people. You run your race. And if you run your race, that's all you need to do." That's what we've got to do. We've got to have our standard, and our standard needs to be the God standard. Our consciousness needs to be the God consciousness. Truth, by the way, represents consciousness, and consciousness means what are we aware of? What are we conscious of? And of course, a part of that is motive. Are we having a motive of spirit? A spiritual motive. Because if we have a material motive, we'll probably fail. President Trump, who built a very fine business in many countries, all of his properties are noted as being high quality, and they continuously receive awards from the people who use the facilities. That's the best awards or rewards are given as a vote by the people that vote on them that use the properties. And he continuously is at the top of the list throughout the world. Many countries, many cultures, many types of properties. And he wrote a book that said The Art of the Deal. And he said that if I focused on the money that would be made on any one of these deals, I'm sure it would be a failure. He focused on the art of the deal, which is really like the principle. How does everything fit together so that it's going to be a project that is successful in the end? He wasn't thinking about the money. He was thinking about all of the elements being correct and fitting together as a whole. If we apply that same concept to our life, imagine what that would do to all of humanity. Forget about the material aspects. Think about the concept. Think about the elements. Perfect the elements, and the whole will be perfect. Love being the seventh of the seven qualities, synonymous terms for God, we can imagine already what that's going to be. Because we've talked about the qualities of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth, so it's obvious what love has to be. Love has to be the fulfillment, the completion. If we deal with spirit as our foundation, the love is not going to be some kind of a sensual, good for a moment and then gone. We have to express love on a human level in every way that is moral in order to get to the divine. But that doesn't mean that it is a lack of morals. That's depravity. We're talking about moral love. Petting an animal, giving it love, giving it food when it depends on you for food. And doing the same way with every individual. Nurturing it. Expressing love to it. Not bark at them like a dog that's unhappy. Or it could be a dog that is just trying to get to warn you about something. Unhappy about the circumstances that it sees might be danger. We don't want to bark at an individual. We want to be kind and considerate and thoughtful. Don't be rough, be tender. A kind word will certainly be better than a rough word. It's easy to find a ton of ways to be expressing love on a human level that is moral. And the more we do that, we'll be more like Jesus, because she said the humanity of Jesus, his magnitude of humanity, enabled his divinity. So that's what we want to do. We want to express on a human level at the highest moral degree that we can conceive of, love for mankind. Mary Baker Eddy talks about forgiveness. But what is forgiveness? Do we have the authority to forgive somebody? If we think we have the authority to forgive somebody, that means that we thought we had the authority to condemn them, because we're forgiving them for what we condemned them for. Let everybody take care of their own conscience. We need to take care of ourselves. And yes, we need to forgive ourselves if we have condemned ourselves. If we're going to be you know, really sad because we made a big mistake. That's not a godlike quality. We've got to be learning from it, not repeating it, and improve our spiritual nature so that we don't do it again. But to carry it around with us is like having a very small engined car or a truck hauling a tremendous load, and the trailer hitch may break. Or the truck, if it's a truck that's all one piece, it may fall apart. Break the wheels or the axle because it's so much weight. We have to rectify things that we did wrong. We need to make peace with people that we were not peaceful with. And if there's an honest agreement between two people, simply agree to disagree. But do it harmoniously. Forgiving is not what we need to be concerned about. We need to be not condemning in the beginning. And if we've already condemned and we want to forgive, then we've got to realize that we were wrong when we condemned. When we criticized, condemned, we should be taking care of our business only. Mary Baker Eddy says that we're going to be plenty busy taking care of our own consciousness without trying to take care of the consciousness of someone else. Love, by the way, represents plan and design. That includes plan and design for everything. For mind, for spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and plan and design for love itself. Every plan, every design for any element, whether it's our intelligent way to approach something, whether it's the spiritual nature that we're going to express, whether it's the way we are going to hear or feel or taste or see something, whether it's the structure or system of principle, whether it's the life of living the qualities of God, whether it's the motive, the consciousness, the awareness of truth, everything needs to be considered in relation to love. Are we nurturing? I mean, that's what love is all about. Think of a mother love, nurturing. Are we nurturing the qualities of intelligence or spirit or the way we see or hear, smell, think, feel? Are we nurturing the perfection of God in what we are doing? That's how we bring it to fulfillment. That's how in the art of the deal, the final project was completed. Everything had to be nurtured. Just think of all the cultures that were involved with him having these projects all over the world. Every kind of politician, every kind of trade union, every kind of employee, every race, creed, culture, climate, the different weather conditions, everything had to be nurtured in the right manner. That's what we're doing. We're building an empire of our body. We're building an empire of our realm, our consciousness, which results in our world. And our world needs to be the God world. Getting our world out of the way and replacing it with the infinite nature of God. All existence. Being a part of all existence and joining in our hands, you know, joining hands, joining our whole being in a network with everything. Spirit is such a valuable quality of God to consider in everything that we think about, everything we say, and everything we do. So that when we reflect our consciousness out into the universe that is going to be available to everyone that opens their thought to it, that it is one that is reflecting the beauty of the Great Spirit. Amen.